Hello everybody, this is your girl Shawana, here doing another podcast. I hope everyone is having a great Saturday. I'm still excited by doing this, my exodus movement, letting go and let God take control. I'm a little sad today because today I had to attend one of my childhood friends' funeral today. Somebody that I grew up with, been friends with since we were in elementary until now. He was more of a big brother to me than anything because he always watched out for me. So I'm a little sad, and that's what I want to talk about today. Bereavement, losing a loved one. It doesn't matter if it's a friend, a family member, your mother, father, we all go through it. And it's not a time period to grieve. You know, a lot of times people don't understand that. They think maybe after a couple months or maybe a year that you should get over something like that. But you can't, because we're human. And it was good today to see so many of my childhood friends and classmates. Some of my classmates and friends that I haven't seen in 20 years. And that's kind of sad that, you know, we all had to come together to bury one of our own, one of our friends. And it shouldn't be like that, but that's the way it is. Because, you know, you grow up with people and then go to school with them for so long. Then once you graduate and everyone is on their own path of life or what they're doing. And some of us do stay connected and some of us don't. But I can say growing up in the neighborhood that we grew up in, Scott Street, Green Street, the Projects, Detroit, Butler, all of us is one big circle. We all was all connected. We may have went to different schools, Bossier High, Airline, but we all was still connected. We all was a big family. So it hurts when you lose one of your peoples in the family. And I can say rest in heaven, Reggie Red Hot Taylor, because you kind of like broke the mold there, buddy. Because he was a great person and he loved everybody. And he set a wonderful example of being a good person and a good man. He did. So that's what I want to talk about today. Bereavement. As I said before, there's not a timeline to grieve. And, you know, I've been through it. And I know a lot of other people have been through losing somebody. And I like today what one of the people said today when she was doing the acknowledgments for the family. And she said, let the family grieve. And that's exactly what we have to do. A lot of times we don't let people grieve. We think that after a certain time, then they should be over it. But that's not the case. And when she said that, let the people grieve, let the family grieve, she said they are allowed to be mad. They're even allowed to question God because they're human. And because God says so, which is true. We are allowed to have those emotions. We're allowed to be mad and happy and sad. We're even allowed to question God at a point, because we have that human emotion that He gave us that we are allowed to do. And so a lot of times we don't let people grieve. A lot of times we try to make things about ourselves, because at the end of the day, and I know for myself and a lot of people I know have gone through this, when the phone calls stop and the car stops, you're by yourself grieving in the midst of why. Why did this happen to such a good person? He was too young to die. You start questioning and you have to start seeing your life without this person. And you're allowed to feel that. And you know, it's not saying that you don't believe in God. It's not saying that you don't trust God. It's just knowing that you do believe in him and you have that faith and you trust him. You're allowed to say these things, to feel these things. Because he's allowing you to do it. We know when we lose a loved one, especially with sickness, we know that they're not suffering no more from it. That they're in heaven with God in their mansion that he had prepared for them. And they ain't got to worry about being sick no more or stressing or none of that. Even when someone's taken by violence, like my kid's father was, we ask the question, why? Why would somebody do that? Why would someone take his life? For what reason? You know, they robbed and killed him. And all they had to do was ask for whatever they wanted. He would have gave it to them. But we can't control other people's actions and their way of thinking. We have to trust God. And I asked that question. But at the same time, I trusted God. And I said, Lord, I know you don't make mistakes. And I know it's a reason. But I still have to ask why. And my children asked why. They even started to doubt God for a minute, which was okay. Because he knows that we're human. He knows that we're going to do that. Because his understanding is not our understanding. His way is not our way. So we have to trust the process. So we have to trust the process of bereavement. It's a process. It is. It's a process. And a lot of times people don't respect that and understand that. You know, you got those people looking on the outside, looking in, trying to be nosy, trying to find out about stuff. They're not truly there for you or trying to be a friend. You know, you got those type of people. They only show up just to see what's going on so they can go back and talk about it. And as the preacher said today, when the phone call stops, when the card stops and all that stops, the only person you can depend on is God. Because guess what? He said he will comfort you always. He's everlasting. And that's all you need when you're going through that. But sitting there in that funeral today just brought back memories and reflections of loved ones that I've lost, especially with my kid's father. It's been 4 years, and it still felt like it just happened yesterday. Because the way he died, someone took his life, and then not knowing who did it, that's another aspect to deal with. So that's why I say people to understand that you still can grieve 4 years later and still ask those questions of why. Reggie had a heart attack at 44 years old. And that is the question that we all are asking, like, why? He's so young. He was full of life. He loved everybody. He did anything for everybody. He was such a good person, but now he's gone. But believing in God, we know that our time is up. When Jesus died and God brought him back, he rose again. He did say that I was coming back. And when I come back, I'm going to come back like a thief in the night. And what does that mean? You don't know the time. You don't know when. So he done came back like a thief. And now we asking questions on why. Why did this happen? Exactly. If you have faith, you can understand that. He came like a thief and he took Reggie. And now we didn't understand why. We didn't know when he was going to do it, but he did it. And we sitting back here wondering. But at the same time, we're joyful because we know he ain't got to suffer no more. He suffered for so long. And he was the type of person, when he was sick, he not going to tell you. If you ask him, he needs something. No, I'm good. He didn't want to bother nobody. Because he was that person that was always strong for everybody. And when you have a person like that it hits you kind of hard when they're gone, and when they're taken away, especially when they were good and had a good heart. It hurts. And a lot of people say, why do all the good ones always leave? Because that's what God had for them. That's what their path was. Their time came up. It was time for them to go. They served their purpose for the time He wanted them to serve it. And it's time to come home. Just like we gonna serve our purpose when it's time. We don't know time. We don't know the day. We don't know how or when. But when it's time, we gonna go. And we're going to have other people standing over us saying the same thing. Wow. But remember, we can do that. We're allowed to have those emotions. And when people come to you and say that you don't need to question God or you shouldn't be still grieving, no. You tell those people, yes, I can. I can do that. Because God has allowed me to do that. I'm able to do that because He created me to have those type of feelings because I'm a human being. I have emotions, so I can't sit there and cry. It don't mean that I don't believe in God, but I have to have that time to do that. And we have to respect that. So I like that when Sharon said that today. You have to let the family, allow them to grieve. As friends, allow your friends to grieve, and family. Anytime someone's going through bereavement, you have to allow them to grieve. You got to allow them to go through the process. You can't make them go through it and make them be better and think that they should be normal. You can't do that. And I also like what the preacher had said today about human nature. Like he said, after the funeral is over with, everybody's going to go back to their normal selves. The phone calls going to stop, the text messages, the cards, all that, the flowers. It's going to stop because that's the way we're designed as humans. We go back to what we know. We're going to be there for a little while, then after that, we go back to our normal selves, our own lives, and then we don't think about that no more. Every now and then, we might say, oh, I wonder how they're doing since after such and such died. I might need to call them. I'm going to call them. I'm going to check on them, and we never do. And I think that's something we need to get better at as human beings. We got to start being closer and loving one another better than what we do. Especially when it's a time of bereavement, even if it's a time of joy, or whatever the occasion is, just in life, period, we got to start being better towards one another. Not just wait till someone die and we all come around and give our condolences and, you know, every day we need to start calling one another, checking them with, hey, what's up? What you doing today? How you doing? You know what I'm saying? Shooting out a text. How's it going today? Because you don't know what somebody's going through. And a lot of times we get attitudes with people when they don't respond to us or if we haven't heard from them. And then we catch attitudes, but you don't know what's going on with that person. They could be going through a horrible storm, going through hell, but you assuming that it's about you. And instead of just picking up the phone or going by and say, hey, I hadn't heard from you in a while. What's going on with you? Hey, you're not acting like yourself. What's going on with you? We got to start doing that and stop speculating, assuming stuff. And catching attitudes and holding grudges against people, and they don't even know why. Because they mind somewhere else, they're going through something. They're not even thinking about what you're thinking about. Don't even know what you're talking about. So it's time out for that type of stuff, because life is too short. We are leaving this earth in numbers, in droves. It used to be the saying that you're gone, you're here today, and you're gone tomorrow. But now you're here today, and you're gone today. because God is calling us home just like that. And the most important thing about it, if you don't have your life in order, if you're not right with God, I feel sorry for you when you do leave this earth. It ain't about getting your affairs together here on earth, because God say, don't prepare nothing here on earth in the first place. And that's what a lot of us make that mistake. We so busy trying to save money, trying to have a house, and trying to have all this stuff, and trying to have all this stuff and save it. And God already said not to save nothing or prepare nothing here on this earth. Because he already got a mansion for us in heaven. He said don't store nothing here on earth, but we still do it. We want to have all this money in the bank. We want to have all these houses and these cars. And we can't take none of that with us, because when we die and get put in that ground, whoever you got as the beneficiary, they're going to take that money and run through it. They ain't finna save nothing. They're going to do whatever they need to do. Pay bills and get caught up. Buy them a car if they ain't got a car. Buy them a house if they ain't got a house. They're going to do whatever they got to do. And you were sitting up here trying to save all this stuff all this long time. For what? When God say don't store nothing here on earth in the first place. He gonna bless you to make it. He gonna bless you to have a roof over your head. He gonna bless you to have a car to drive if you need one. He gonna bless you to have food on the table. He gonna bless you to pay your bills. That's all you need to do. But we wanna be greedy and have more. And try to save it. And he said don't store here nothing on earth from the beginning. I'm going to see how many of y'all catch that. And then when we die, people get mad. Why they made them a beneficiary? They ain't going to do nothing but run through the money. So what? You can't keep it in the first place. God say don't store nothing here on earth. But we tend to do it. See, we really, really study our Bible and pay attention to what God's word is and actually live by what he say. This world will be a better place and we will be better people. And we wouldn't go through all these trials and tribulations that we go through. But we don't do that. We see half of it, we study half of it, and we read half of it, and we take away and we add to it to accommodate how we think it's supposed to be and how we want to live. Not the way God say live, really. That's what we do. That's what we do. And we got to stop doing that. We got to. That's why I'm broke now. I don't be worried about saving money. I don't be worried about trying to have all this money in the bank and all this stuff, because I know I can't take it with me. I know if I die today, my two boys, my beneficiaries, they gonna go through that money and do what they got to do with it. And they ain't gonna be worried about saving nothing. They gonna use it to do what they need to do to live. So that's why I don't worry about that. Whatever I have, I don't care if it's 2 cents. Somebody asks me for a penny, I'm going to give them that penny and keep the other penny. If I got 50 cents and they need a quarter, hey, you get this quarter, I take that quarter. That's what you're supposed to do. Not sit there and say, well, I ain't got no money. I ain't got it. And no, you got it. It don't matter. See, that's what we have to really have faith and start trusting and believing in God. I heard a lot of people say a lot of times somebody called them asking for help and all they had was money to pay on the bill. And they be like, man, I ain't got no money. I got to pay my electric bill. If I give you that half of that money, then what I got to pay my electric bill? But if you really trusted in God, then you will already know. If you gave them $10 out that electric bill, he was going to make a way for you to get that $10 back and make sure your lights don't get turned off. But see, we can't trust him. We can't fully have faith in him like we say we do. We always got that but. Especially when we pray to him and ask him for this and ask him for that. But we still doubt. Because after we get up off our knees, instead of staying down on our knees to listen to what he say, do. Because he do talk back to you. We get back up off our knees and then we over here on the side still trying to figure out what we need to do to fix the situation. But you just got down on your knees and asked God to do it. So you ain't trusting him. Ain't no point in you getting on your knees. See, all this that I'm talking about right now, I just sat there in that funeral and all this stuff came to me. I just reflected on all this stuff. And I guess that's what God wanted me to do. We got to wake up and we got to pay attention. We got to be better. And when it comes to times like this, bereavement, when we lose somebody, that's when you really got to start thinking about getting your life in order and getting yourself right with God and getting yourself right with your friends and family. Everybody today was talking about we all need to get together. It's been too long, 20 years, 15 years, have you seen some of each other? And we losing friends just like that. Because we all have become distant because everybody living their own life. And never in a million years you would think that you're going to lose this person. And that's why it was so shocking, because never in a million years we would thought that Reggie was going to die the way he died and he was going to leave this earth just like that. And that's a wake-up call that God is showing us. So we got to get it together. We do. We got to get it together. We do. Because life is too short. We're not promised. You promised that mansion in the sky, but you're not promised to be living here on earth in it. Not at all. So that's all I wanted to talk about just for this little minute. Bereavement. It's a process. And we all got to go through it someday. Somebody gonna have to go through it with us when we leave here. But in the process of it, we have to trust and believe in God. And when we are going through bereavement or somebody else is going through it, we have to allow them to grieve and just be supportive and not judgmental and not make it about themselves. And we got to start loving one another before we get to this point where we sitting up in the church crying over a casket. We got to come together and love one another. We got to do better as Christians, as people, period, as God's children. So I hope whatever I said can help somebody today. Because like I said, this one here kind of touched me hard. Because the person that Reggie was, and he loved God, and he loved people, and he lived his life according to that. And he wasn't perfect. He had his flaws, like we all do. But he touched so many lives. So that's why I say we got to do better. Lift up the family. Lift up one another. And just be a better people. God's people at that. So I hope everyone have a great evening. And I'll talk to y'all later. Bye.